need someone who's saying
how are you?
Good.
I was like, are you so good? I need someone right now.
So you're homeschooling?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Anyway, yeah, she was like, the first class, I'm like, what am I doing? And she was like, I can't make this work. And I'm like, I'm on the computer. He's standing there, looked official, and I'm like, any chance you're a tech guy? He's like, I can try it. I'm like, please, because otherwise I got to find somebody else. So I appreciated that. It was like, phew, because she really wanted to use her slideshow. It worked better. And
that's awesome.
It would have been comfortable because that was, you know, that was how she felt comfortable presenting it. And it worked better anyway. In fact, the next guy in the same ballroom was like, I didn't know he could use, or, oh no, it was the keynote speaker told me later. He's like, because he did a class, he's like, I didn't know how to use this picture, and that would have been cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm too vulnerable. But next year, I guess that, you know, that's how they learn. And
yeah,
we'll tell
exactly.
them, but like, I can't help you figure out how to make it work. You know, but some people know how.
Yeah,
we're grateful. Did I give you a raffle ticket for being early bird? You know what they're for? In the different vendors, they've got a box you can.
I give them to the boss.
Well, that's fine. Whatever, but you're here.
Oh.
Early birds get raffle tickets.
Oh, thank you.
You know what those are for? The vendors, you can choose which one.
Are there registration?
Well, all the different vendors have a box, and you can choose which one, and I guess they do drawings, and then you can, I think they give away different things, depending on which vendor you're doing it. So all the classes appear early, you can get them. So it isn't like you can only have one. It's like one per class. But they told us you could get them out if they're early to the class. I'm like, okay, cool. But I'm just giving you a hint. That's how you get more. Yeah, we didn't know. They didn't tell you how to get more, but I'm telling you. Because you are early. I mean, maybe you won't win, but hey, who would try, right? Somebody's going to win.
Yeah.
And if you have five of them, you have five.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I forgot to grab the little the minute things, but do you want me to give you just like a 5 minute?
Yeah.
I have been so engrossed that I
forgot
to look at my timer. Like, I saw it 8 minutes and I forgot to look at it because you were so good.
I'm a time machine.
Are you?
I am.
You are?
So, we're good.
Good. But anyway, and this is small. It was in the ballroom. It was a huge room.
I'm glad I got
it. Yeah. Well, and there.
But amongst all of this, we were married. We made a promise to each other, and I come from strong pioneer heritage, so I made it. We made it work. And then we started making stupid decisions, and we started hurting each other. And so from what I speak from is from a lot of heartache, a lot of tears, and at times saying, what the heck did I do? Why did I even marry this guy? And we found ourselves in a crazy cycle. But if you're like me, marriage is the most important gift God has given us. And without it, we wouldn't have our children. And for women, I was that mom who was giving everything to the kids, and Seth was the last thing on my list because we had hurt each other so much. And it didn't get anywhere. In fact, the more we hurt each other, the more we came like this. The enemy is there to steal for what you don't fight for, and if you don't put your marriage first on the list, Satan's going to take it all from you. And so we have to prioritize our marriage. And what greater gift can we give to our children than a wholesome marriage of happiness? And with that comes a beautiful home. And in the future, it will become, I have two kids that are now in the marriage phase. And I'm like, to exemplify what a real marriage is so that they'll be happy. So in our mess of life, we oftentimes have to put beside ourselves. We have to remove the pride, the blame, resentment, fault finding, and criticism. And oftentimes it's our false beliefs is what's holding us back. For me, it was all men are out to hurt you and they're going to leave you. It's not true. So finding your truth is so important. And then learning to be true to what you say. Why did I fight so hard to homeschool or do the things with? Because that was me. Oftentimes, sin can be a stumbling block, but also our own selfishness, not being able to see and validate each other. Another big one in homeschool moms is people-pleasing or trying to live up the social norm or what everyone else is doing, and learning how to not let their judgment or what you think people's judgment on you, to let that go and let God be in charge. So with that, we also have addictions, and I've also learned in my journey the word codependency. Have you ever heard the codependency? And we all have it in some point of where our happiness can be lied on someone else's or their choices. And to free ourselves of being whoever it is in your life. We all have families and siblings, and if you're like me, my siblings are not perfect, and the sadness that comes from having that imperfect family. But to not let that affect your identity or your spouse's choice or your choice. Sometimes I have people that will say, oh, your kids are so good, and I'm not bragging, but I believe that that's their choice. It's not mine. You know, I create a culture, but it's their choice. Or I grew up in a home that was a wonderful home. My dad made a mistake, but I came from a good home. And yet to have siblings say, go off and make messes of their lives, circumstances have nothing to do with it. It's agency. And it's not your identity of choices of others. So with that, Seth and I, one time, I remember we were reading this book together. It was our first marriage book. We were both pretty broke at that point. And we read it, and it's the crazy cycle. But love and respect. And if you haven't read it, I strongly encourage you to. But the crazy cycle triggers and fuels itself. When the wife feels unloved, she tends to react in a way that shows disrespect, which is far more important for a man to be respected than to be loved. Whereas women, of course, need that love and that companionship. So when she reacts in disrespect, which I was good at, then he doesn't act in a loving way. And the cycle goes on and on and on. Okay, my husband has something to say.
So, first off, I got to know, who's new to homeschooling? Are you overwhelmed yet? Does your husband, is he behind you? He is behind you. I wasn't behind this story, so I got to go back to a little bit to the story. So this crazy cycle is going, right? this woman here, she's like going, this is what we're going to do. And I'm like, you're absolutely crazy. All right. So she said to me, if you want your husband to get on board, say, I want you to do something for him. I said, I want you to go down and I want you to sit in that school with your kid and do nothing. The whole day, sit there and just watch.
Or the projected school.
Or any school you got, right? All of a sudden, I can promise you, he'll be like, we're wasting time. Unless you got a really amazing teacher, but my experience was, she told me that. So you go down, you go sit in that classroom. You go and watch what they're actually teaching your kids. That's number one. So if you, maybe if he's on the fence, whatever, and you yourself, go do it. Go find out. Like, challenge what we've just been asked. Go challenge it. Go find out. Are you really homeschooling because you need to really homeschool? Right? I love that lesson. Anyway, this is a crazy cycle. Here she is, and there's no respect because now, so she does this, right? She's like, we're going down. This is, I'm not showing you respect. You ain't going to give me respect, and I'm going to give you your love. And it just goes like this. And it'll go like this forever. There is no stopping this until some person, it doesn't matter which one, decides to change. That's the only thing that will then stop it from going down. I mean, it was not going to go up. You wanted to go up. You got to change this crazy cycle from going this way. The book explains it really, really well. Let's say all of a sudden I said, I've got to stop this. We're headed for a straight divorce, man. I mean, it was like we were on a fast line saying, this is going to end. Okay? So I said, okay, I'm going to stop holding love. If she's disrespecting me, but I'm like, all right, I'm gonna start to love. No matter what, I am going to change myself. And all of a sudden, the cycle stops. That was peace. Now, all of a sudden, I start giving love. She says, oh, this guy's not such a bad guy. Okay, I'm going to change my ways. And all of a sudden, it's going like this. And the last, 5-6 years has been heaven. But before that, it was straight. Well, that depends. Building the house was not heaven, okay? Procrastinating, I already told you that, was sheer hell. I'm not going to lie. It was like we were not headed for a good scenario. So if you're in that thing, be the person that changes. Now, what happens if that person doesn't want to change? This is that crazy cycle again. What if that you are getting, okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to be good. And I'm going to give love. And she will not respect me. At least you're not going down. You keep working at that. Because you're not going down as long as you're going like this. But as soon as it goes like this, then it starts going up. And it will change. So, like I said, that changed our lives.
Thank you. So we had a catastrophe and then we got some counseling and which was the best thing. And our counseling, our marriage counseling, lasted one session. They're like, you need to go fix yourselves. And isn't that true? When we are whole and our cup is full, then we can give to someone else. And it didn't take long. I mean, it didn't take long for us. Mine was expectations of everything that I put on my shoulders. And learning to let go of all those expectations was really, because I'm a perfectionist in a way. So it was good. But what are your triggers? What are your things? We're going to get to that. Okay. So by Seth changing, he started showing me a little bit more love. And then I started standing up for him. And when you stand up for your spouse, when you share all your private things and getting joint accounts on all your social media, you don't hide your, I guess, even your phones. I mean, you need passwords to everything because that's where marriage lies, that fidelity or that just, I don't know, loyalty to each other. There's no secrecy. And that will change everything. And not getting offended is another big one, is learning to just be so humble and open with each other. So, the next one, I love this one, but in the rewarding cycle, we have to remember, in a sense, our marriage has nothing to do with our spouse. They react, they're independent on each other. But our marriage has everything to do with your relationship with Christ. If you put Christ in front of your spouse and say, how am I reacting to not that person, but it is a reflection of how am I reacting to Christ, it will change you. It says, you envision the time when you will see him face to face and realize your marriage is really his way of testing and growing you, and that you have, as you grow and love the Savior, you will have more reverence for him and to see him as, or her, as he truly is. And my counselor said, Seth is a noble and great one. Emily, do you see him as a noble and great one? He chose to do good things and to make promises with God, and do you see him for that? And that was a big change for me. I'm like, oh, you're really a good person, you know. Okay, so Seth's going to tell us about this. This was another part of the Love and Respect book.
Okay, so my wife really likes acronyms. I don't memorize very well, but the thing is chairs. She has another one for guys. Okay, I'm going to ask a few little questions. Okay, so we're going to put you on the spot. And Aaron, he's a good guy. That's the most calmest guy I know is sitting up here. Do you ever get riled up?
Yeah.
From your wife?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, but you get riled up. Something happens that's like, dang it!
Yeah.
Right? Do you ever think that you have to... Okay, we're going to read this now. With that in mind, I want you to think about yourselves. So, conquest, understand why we feel the way we feel. Do you know why you get riled up? Maybe I don't freaking know! Just want to be mad. Right? Hierarchy. That gratitude. This one gets kind of tricky because without both, it doesn't work, right? You can't say, well, I'm authoritative but it's his job to kind of provide and protect. Have you ever met a man that kind of is they switch roles where the woman goes out to work and the man stays home? This don't work. Most kind of don't, as far as that guy. He's got to be, God designs to be the hunter, the protector, bring home the bacon, expects her to cook it, okay? But if you screw with that, sitting there, that one statement I heard was, if you give a man a fork and show him enough respect, he'll build you a house with it. He'll do whatever. He will die. He will. He won't give up until he's there. Authority. As he puts his, a humble man, if he puts his authority to God, and he says, we're going to work together, he'll be guided. He'll be guided. But as a woman, is that easy to let the guy know? What about you? You've been married how many years now? Yeah. 17 years. Is it easy now to let your husband just make all the decisions?
Oh, no.
Why not?
Well, actually, you're
going to
think I'm lying about this, but he's more of a feminist than I am.
Yeah, but you made that work. So, but does one of you make it without the other?
Oh, no. I mean, depending on the size of the decision.
But when he says this is, we made the decision, and he says this is what we're doing. Your family's on board with that, right?
Yeah, like you mean our
kids. You as a part of the family, you and your kids, kind of when your husband finally says this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's going that way, and there's no problem.
Yeah.
What happens if that decision is not made and he says we're doing this? How does it go for you guys?
Yeah, so I'm pretty careful not to, like, hash that out in front of the family, but there are times when he have to.
Is that bad though? I got my two kids right here. These are two of them. So yeah. Is it bad that some? Now they make fun of us. Yeah. Is it wrong sometimes when you see mom and dad kind of argue it out a little bit? Because in the end, what happens?
They resolve it.
We resolve it.
Well, you also know that it's people don't always get along, but you can do it. So when you go into a marriage, you're not going to expect perfect marriage, and then like, why am I fighting with this person when you know that that's a part of it.
Right. Okay.
Well,
And oftentimes you step around and what you're arguing about is really dumb. So.
Okay, so
that's why we make fun of them.
You guys are stupid. Sometimes we're working on our house and we're trimming the house and these guys are like, oh, you guys are at this again. We don't see you home, right? Relationship. Recognize the value of just being with him. You married? How important is it for you to just have her just be there? Just time. Just like a good quality time of just chit-chat. Not about me. It doesn't matter. What, for you, what does that do?
When you run crazy all the time, that's when you build your relationship. That's when you can just be together.
So do you think that that's more of an intimate time with you? Let's say it's not anything sexual yet. Let's just say it's just being time. Yeah. And then, does that, do you usually laugh or giggle, or is it always just serious? It's kind of that time that you both kind of let your hair down, for a speak, right? Okay. Thank you. Last one. This one, sexuality, is probably one of the most important things for a man. If your husband is struggling, if you show him respect, you show him love, you hit all these other things, and you withhold that, what happens to you? Any man ever experienced that? Or what guy did it, those things get enough, right? All kinds of like, we're not going to say this, our wife is sitting right here, right?
She's sitting right here, but...
What happens when that love, okay, happens to you as a man? I'm on top of the world. I can do anything you want. That woman, there is nothing that I won't do for you. I will do anything. I feel like a man. This relationship is going to go good. Those are important triggers that you have to hit. So that's her as far as a man to a wife, you want to improve. Those are extremely important steps that have to happen.
So for men, how do we show closeness? Or as a couple, how do we support our wives? And for a woman, she needs to feel close to her husband with having face-to-face time with them and feeling emotionally connected. And for me, I mean, in the intimacy lifestyle, a husband needs the actual action of the lovemaking, but it's the moments after the lovemaking that a woman needs. She needs to feel connected and to talk. And for us, that's when he opens up and I open up and our deepest feelings can happen. So taking that time, it balances out. If we both need, the intimacy comes together in a beautiful way when we take the time for both, but to have the time to talk and the closeness that happens. Men, we need to be open with our husbands. And I remember my sister-in-law was having a hard time in her marriage, and she said the marriage had become like a business. And she said, all I had to, I changed was we went hot tubbing together where we actually talked. And then I was present in the room. He loves to play baseball. So she's like, I just started doing Sudokus, sitting on the couch with him watching baseball, and their marriage instantly improved. How often do we go to grandma's house, and if grandma's not home, we don't even want to be there. The woman makes the home, but she makes the relationship when she is present. I read one time, look up, light up. When he walks through the room, and just acknowledging him when he's there, even when you're so busy with the children everywhere, at least acknowledge him. Have the door, when the door opens, look up and light up at his, and show your gratitude in that he's just walked through the door. Taking the time to be attentive to your wife's concerns is so important. And Seth and I have come to the conclusion, am I trying to listen or am I trying to fix this? I just need you to listen, you know. And being able to just listen is so important. Being one with your wife, always living in peace and apologizing goes a long ways. And like I said, letting her repeatedly see your devotion to her by having all of our open devices and all of our passwords goes a long ways. In fact, it builds. And then if we stand up for each other, and which I have to laugh because here we are, we married complete opposites, and when Seth started standing up for me and being this homeschool mom, this natural herbalist to a very public school family and a nurse hospital family, I could see that he actually loved me. And so stand up for your spouse in all six times. So I've kind of talked about this, but just learning to say apologize. And the person who married us, he said, the biggest advice I can give you is just say you're probably right. Even if they're not. But you're probably right. I'm sorry and I made a mistake. And I'm going to keep going for the sake of time. You can put it back. Okay. So this is a very old-fashioned book. It was written in the, I would say 1950s, 1940s. But it had a lot of good points in it that I liked. Fascinating womanhood. Catch your spouse doing something right and praise them for it. I love this about you. Write things on your mirror or in the shower or something. My sister has a little display case with glass by his shower, like by his sink, and she'll change that up with what I love about you. Praise their efforts to bless your family. And in this book, it talks about a woman, and the husband brings home the paycheck and gives it to her, and she just gushes. Look, Bobby, you can get new skates, and Karen, you can have piano lessons, and look at this wonderful food that, you know, that Dad just made it so we can have the fridge full. And she just went on and on, and I'm like, do I show that kind of appreciation for my spouse? And do I help my kids see, because Dad does what he does, we have all these blessings. And he will, like he said, he will make that fork become, he'll shovel. And are we the woman that praises, or are we the ones shoveling out all the gold out the back door so he has to keep coming with the dump truck, you know? But I highly recommend this book. It talks about, it's not traditional now in the way you raise, we're taught women should be, but to dress up for him when he gets home, or to not be in your pajamas all day long, or trying to have your house kind of tidied up when he gets there. Those kind of things. They're old philosophies, but they go a long ways just to show your appreciation for your spouse when he comes home. So the biggest, we did, we're love and respect, and then we came across this book, and my brother-in-law is, he's a bishop for his ward, and he says, this book has how to improve your marriage without talking about it. He's like, that was what he gave anyone who came with marriage. And so Seth started reading it first, and he changed. And he started treating me really nice, and I started feeling guilty. I'm like, well, I'm not doing so good. And he read it, like, I think a year before I ever read it, but he changed. And so here's some truths that we found. And then we also found for women only and for men only. And this is what I give for wedding gifts now. And it's like a counseling session, but the women read for men only, and it's about how women think, and vice versa. And you highlight it, what you agree with, and then you give it back to each other. And then you can read each other's highlights and notes. And I can't remember the topic, but Seth was like, you really think this way? And I'm like, yeah. You know, and I don't remember everything. But it's so spot on. So I'm like, my teenagers, my young adults have read it.
They also have versions for young women only, and I recommend them as parents for special teens. And
well, I'm like,
they're really good on there, but appropriate for them. You don't want.
Well, how men have such visual eyes? I'm just like, can't you just, you know? And why God wired them that way? That helped, or how women are so self-critical of themselves, and how we can help each other. Anyways, it was the cheapest counseling that you can ever get, all in one book, and from your home. So in the things that I liked, but we have men and women different experience shame and fear differently. His raised voice is an automatic, she's in danger. You know, if you want to fix your marriage, tone your voice down. Don't ever yell. Luckily for Seth, my voice box doesn't do it very well, so I can shriek, but that doesn't happen. It hurts. But for this is one we really learned. Do you want to tell them about shame and how, honey, we need to talk that conversation?
You're good.
Okay.
You can say it.
Okay. So when a woman says, honey, we need to talk, automatically he goes, what have I done wrong? It's not, and then with that, he puts up the defense of, I'm not good enough for her, so therefore I'm shamed. When women are critical of their man all the time, he can never do anything right, that shame goes up, and he will push you out. So the fear and shame goes hand in hand in how we can show that for each other. So men, raise your voice. Women, you're nagging and critical. And if you find your marriage is lacking in closeness, one of you are most likely doing those things. Her anxiety causes his shame, and his shame, which he will withdraw, or I'm not good enough in the way that she's nagging or finding fault with him, will then make her anxious because she's not feeling safe in a relationship. So gauge yourself. Are you feeling anxious? Well, that's a good trigger that you're not doing something. You need to change your criticalness and I would hate to say it's all the woman's fault. It's not. But in a lot of ways, for his silence is probably a sign of your shaming him. So men will be more loving, compassionate, and nurturing if you understand and accept his vulnerability to shame and reduce the way you trigger it. Like in Fascinating Womanhood, praise him, and you will just, he'll open up for you. Women feel secure by interacting with her man, which helps her feel emotionally connected and relaxed. She needs to talk. Men are emotionally secure just by having her in the room, which I mentioned. And men's emotions, most of the anger, emotional shutdown, and seemingly cold intellectual analysis is a defense against feeling overwhelmed and out of control. Talking makes them feel worse. Failure or shame that she is dissatisfied. Okay, so women experience their vulnerability to feel connection, and men share their feelings. When men share their feelings, they express their vulnerability, are in a very sensitive ground. So I guess when he finally divulges and talks to you about something, in the way that you react is so important. If you react in a shameful or judgmental way, he's never going to confide in you again. But when you say, I'm sorry you feel that way, and I understand that, how can we change, or what can we do to make this have become a positive influence, outcome, will validate him. And we've already talked about the intimacy, so I'm going to move on. So most men have no idea how frightening, threatening, or terrorizing their anger is to women. An angry voice can trigger her fear response and dump cortisol into her system. If he has a habit of overacting and getting angry on a regular basis, she lives in a constant state of alertness and fear. In addition, she can feel completely safe and relaxed with him, a prerequisite for love, affection, and connection. So, and I've already talked about being critical, so. Okay, so for me, counseling is expensive. And you don't always need it. Maybe you're like me and you only need one or two such sessions to actually see where your hang-up is. But for us, books were the answer, a couple of counseling sessions, going to your emotional... I'll do a little plug for emotional healing. I use different people to help me energetically heal from the traumas that I had in my life, and I'm a different person for that. So looking out beyond your normal, like in our first other class we just had, think outside of your box in ways that you can find ways to help you heal from your own things. A great book for another one was on triggers and helping you recognize what makes you react in a certain way. And my husband was able to finally say, is this my problem or is it your dad's hang-ups or what is the issue here? Is this something I need to be fixing or... And for me, it was, I finally got to where I'm like, no, this is just a dad issue, you're fine. But for you to be able to find your own is life-changing. So And often, and it just depends. Like, recognizing your past can often set you off for stupid things like, I don't know. I really have the thing with the toilet paper needs to be a certain way, and is it a trigger? It can mean nobody appreciates me. So, just turn the stupid toilet paper the right way. I'll just fix it myself, you know? But I don't know. That was a simple one. But another really good book we liked was Boundaries, and this is not taught in our culture.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah.
So this one, this other book changed a lot of our life. Again, I'm not pushing books. I don't do that. That's not me. But what is a boundary? And when we finally learned what a boundary was and how it is, and then this talks, all those laws, they're in that book, right? I have a boundary. Now, let's say, for example, I have a boundary that says, if you do X, I have to do this. It's not, I have a boundary and you can't do that. And when we learn that, when we learn that concept of, okay, when I raise my voice, okay, she has to withdraw. That's her boundary. Don't cross it. It won't go good for you. So when we're building our house, it's kind of a more funny thing, is because she's a perfectionist and she doesn't see the finished project, and we've built lots of houses with very expensive houses with my brother-in-law, whatever, I get to see the construction side of it, and it never looks all pretty. It doesn't. The difference between a master and apprentice is he who can hide his mistakes. Okay? And so it's been a really hard ride for her to say, I'm going to trust you that this is going to be good. My boundary has to be, she doesn't understand this stage yet. So everything has to have a boundary in it. Everything. But you set it for you. Do not set it for your spouse. Now, if your spouse says, hey, this is my boundary, then you understand that. Okay, I'm not going to cross that line. This is not going to be good. And this is the other part. How many men, by raised hand, actually goes and reads these books?
Sometimes.
It's hard, right? This is swallowing some pride to read the books. Sometimes I didn't read books. I got out of high school. I went to college, right? And I read. And I can read books on how to quantum physics, and I can read books on how to engineer, and I can read that kind of stuff. But when it comes to emotional stuff, this is not a man's field until they realize it is. So wives, how long have you been married? 20 years. Does your husband read books?
Some.
Is it hard?
For him
to read a book? I don't know if you're wondering, does he read these kind of books?
No, but he wants to hear about them.
Okay, so interesting, right? Would you like him to read these books? Okay, so the next thing, how would you get him to read this book? Right, so you're saying, this is important to me. I've read this book, but if I give you this book, and I go up to him, I say, read this book. How's that going to go? You have just entered a shame scenario. It's evil. And his body's going to be like, what's he going to say? I won't swear. Like heck, I'm going to read this book. Who are you to tell me that?
Or I must not be doing something right.
What am I doing wrong? What do you want me to fix? Not good. So, what we found is one thing. I had a brother-in-law that says, Seth, you got to read books. Your marriage is falling apart, you got to read books. So I started reading some books. Now, when I read it as a wife, and this works, this is really, really, really good, is if you would say, read this little spot with me. I haven't read it yet, let's just read this spot together. If you read it right, and that emotion, he can feel that emotional connection with what is being said in the book. If you disagree, we read things in books, we disagree with this completely. that's still a connection. That's actually a good thing to say, we both disagree. That's all right. I don't have to agree with the book completely. That becomes power. That becomes an understanding of, oh, wow, I got this book. Now, am I converted to this book? No. But my relationship with my wife has just increased because we have an understanding of what is going on. And so, again, I'm not putting the plug in for the book, but if you want your husband to read a book that you really like, that you think can change it, read it together. That takes time. That's what he wants. We spend time together. It'll change. It might be slow, but it'll change.
Thank you. So some of the things that I learned in learning about boundaries, which I'll put a plug in, our culture doesn't teach boundaries. And so gathering my thoughts real quick. First, learning about the boundaries, but then teaching your children about boundaries is so critical so that we stop the cycle. So after reading my first book, I was talking to my friend, and she's like, oh, yeah. So when my mom, I'm a 45-year-old girl, and when mom's in my car and she starts yelling because she's unhappy about some certain issue with me, I just stop the car and I make her get out of the car. And I'm like, what? You do what? Well, I don't deserve you to talk like that, or I just hang up the phone. And you can do that to your mother? What? You know, and it was like, it doesn't matter who it is. It's, I love myself enough to not put myself in a situation to be treated in a certain way. And that was revolutionary for me. I'm like, or I love myself enough to not be in a relationship with my spouse to allow him, if he wants to do certain things, that's fine, but you're going to make the closeness. The closeness is gone. And I have a friend, she's dealing with a husband right now who decided to start drinking alcohol. And she's like, fine, you drink alcohol, you don't come home at night. You go find somewhere else to sleep. You drink somewhere else. He only drank for like 2 weeks after that and stopped. Whereas if you feed the addiction, you feed the wrong behavior that you are not acceptable living with, that's the codependency comes into play. And where you put your foot down and what you won't live with changes. I mean, they can still do the activity or they can do it, but it's not with you. They're separating something. So I really admired her for taking up that. Okay, so this one was great. Okay, so I don't know. For the sake of time, I want to move on. So how do we navigate homeschooling while navigating and building a great marriage? I have a friend. She has 8 children. 5 of them have been adopted. She is my saintly. She's an angel of my life. But I'm going to share some wisdom that she does with me. She does with her husband. When he walks through the door, she automatically, he goes to his office and shuts the door. She gives him about 15 minutes to unwind, to think about all the things he's got to do. Then he comes out and he takes over the huge crew of mess. It's a chaos mess at their house. Because most of these children have, they're drug babies, or, you know, the walls are getting beat in. It's just crazy. So she gets a break for about 15, 20 minutes. Then they come out and then they can talk. And I'm like, how often does when our man comes through the door, you need to go fix this, go put that fire out, go do this, blah, 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 you know. For them, it works. And I was like, that is a lot of wisdom, taking time for yourself and not dumping on the person as soon as they walk through the door. Great way to navigate. Sharing responsibilities. This is what I think of, you know, having 8 kids at home with lots of learning disabilities. You're drowning, and we've all been there. So in learning to thrive. So taking the time for each other, especially as a young mother, I found I didn't even get my leg shaved. Like, it'd be a week, and I'd like talk to my friend. I'm like, I didn't even have time to shave my legs. They were banging on the door. I mean, the door's open. The kids are coming in. Kids would be announcing fire, and I'm running through the house. Anyways, it was crazy. But as Seth and I have, you know, now that we're like, we could have learned this a lot better. But you guys are all not in your early 20s, I can tell anymore. when you're all with your littles. Now, if I could go back to the crazy, you know, 25, 28-year-old mother, and I could counsel the 28-year-old husband, take time for yourself. Find a family that you could share responsibilities with. Women need to be able to just have alone time, where she can read and educate herself, be with women who can inspire her, and when you can open up and be vulnerable is where your life will change. Let others see your vulnerability. And your house doesn't have to be perfect. And I think that's the biggest thing. Open your doors to let other people see who you really are. And magic will happen in your life. You will be blessed beyond commitment. So things that I've learned that helps my life is to meal plan on Sundays. Having chores and routines. Maybe you and your husband are actually doing chores together or things that you have to do. Where you have time to explore the world. And for me, we love to use Google Maps. I find kids traveling all over the world on Google Maps sometimes. But being outside is so important. Reading and sharing what you love with your children. I can't ever say that is my most cherished times in homeschooling. And then when Dad comes home and he listens to, or he complains, all you're doing is reading, but the kids share what they've learned and what stories we're doing. Set realistic expectations for you and your children. What can they really handle? So if I were to say it to myself, validate your husband. Show appreciation. Give him the attention when he speaks and light up. I kind of mentioned this one. All women really need is to be listened to, and you don't have to fix it all. Okay, so, I did want to add one more. So, dating is so hard, and maybe now you've got babysitters or built-in babysitters. But if I were to look at it again, I would encourage you to trade babysitting. And now that you have the mentor, to find people that you can trade for. Mentor someone and someone else in exchange for babysitting. And I can't ever say enough on taking time to date. Life gets so busy with all the different ages that you're in now. But even a date can be something as simple as playing a game at the table after the kids go to bed. Or you shut them down in the basement and say it's a date night. We get an hour. But date. And if we do that, and if we really put the Savior in front of our spouse, we will change the way we see him or her. And if we feel like we're drowning, he's there to help save us. And you too. Like all of us, we can all need a little bit of saving. And I wish you the best, and as you navigate your own marriages, and as you show respect and love for each other. Thank you.